DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formation, presents The Way of Mystery, The Eucharist and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating. Deacon Keating is the Director of Theological Formation at the Institute for Priestly Formation, located at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. He's the author of numerous books, including Remain in Me, Holy Orders, Prayer and Ministry, Spousal Prayer, and The Heart of the Diaconate. Deacon Keating has led more than 400 workshops on moral theology and spirituality, and regularly conducts retreats and parish missions. The Way of Mystery, the Eucharist, and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. You're helping us to break open the Confiteor, that important prayer of self-examination and repentance. I have to ask, as someone who is in the pew with so many others who are probably wondering now, why are we not using the Confiteor more often, since it is such an important option of the rite?
I think a lot of times it's just the pragmatism and the pressure that the priest may feel to move the Mass along. I remember once as a deacon, I was in the diocese where I used to live. We had the option to begin or to intone the Confiteor, and I asked the priest who was presiding, do you want to use the Confiteor today, or do you just want to go into the Kyrie? He said, oh, no, we never use the Confiteor. It's too long in terms of time. And actually, it's not a very long prayer at all, and especially the way most Americans proclaim it, we race right through it so quickly to get to the Gloria, if the Gloria is going to be sung, and then we're all ready to sit down. So I think it's a pragmatic choice on the part of some, feeling the pressure of time. And one of the transformations that perhaps we need, if the Mass is really going to be the place where we can luxuriate in the mercy of God, one of the transformations we're going to need is to perhaps slowly but surely let go of the anxiety about time with the Mass. And, all the pastors are laughing at me now. But I think we have to prayerfully consider this. Even in the penitential rite itself, it calls for pauses of silence. Before we even begin the Confiteor, it says, after silence. And our silences are much too quick in the way the Mass is celebrated in most places today. And we have no time to make the transition from the parking lot and our incredibly hectic lives to this wonderful gift that it's about to be bestowed upon us. And we don't have this time to make the transition because we're very cheap with the silences. Now, of course, if we're going to become more generous with silence, all of those who are in charge of the parish have to be very generous with catechesis on what silence is. And we have to enter into it some form of catechesis on silence. Otherwise, people will just think it's a pause, or they'll think it's just dead air, and they won't know what to do in the silence. So catechetically, we have to first bring people in to their interior, the place of encounter with Christ, the place of truth, where they not only name the truth of themselves, but the truth about themselves is named by God. It's not just our initiative in silence. God actually takes the initiative in silence too. It's not psychoanalyzing that we do when we go in. It's receiving the truth that is spoken by Christ. Christ is living within us. This is the great truth of baptism. There is the indwelling of Christ. Since there is the indwelling of Christ, Christ is living his life over again in us, and he's speaking to us. Cor ad cor loquitur. With the famous saying of Cardinal Newman, heart speaks to heart. And we have to be trained to hear his heart beating in our heart. And we have to be trained to listen and what to listen for, which is the whole skill of discernment and distinguishing the voices. What can be placed aside as neurotic or as just a passing feeling of guilt, and what is authentically springing from ourselves as chosen. We need help in finding those skills of discernment. And so I would advocate and I would promote a lessening of anxiety about the time the Mass takes to celebrate. I would promote a deepening of the time that we enter into silence. And again, here we're talking only about, I would say, 3 minutes of silence, particularly after the homily and after the reception of communion, perhaps before the Confiteor or the Kyrie, 2 minutes of silence. But before we go into the silence, we need catechesis on what silence is. Silence is the space that we give to Christ to name the truth about ourselves. And we need skills of discernment to figure out whether what I'm hearing being named is something that is just neurotic, or it's the truth that Christ is bringing to my conscience, and I must acknowledge it. So silence is crucial if the penitential rite is going to be fruitful, if we're really going to make that transition from the parking lot to the Holy of Holies.
I think that emphasis on silence is so beautiful and so needed in our liturgies. I know that John Paul, our Pope, had called us to come to a greater appreciation of those moments of silence. I think with our liturgies, there's been such an emphasis on music, and music is such an important song of praise, but we've allowed that to drive the speed of our liturgies. And unfortunately, in some cases where silence is necessary, such as in this great time of reconciliation, this penitential rite, we just speed by it in order to get to the next song.
I think the medium that we're in right now, the radio medium, has probably added to that. And I use the expression, no dead air, mm-hmm. which is the great sin of the medium of the radio. Well, if you end a song and Father doesn't immediately then pick up his next line, if we're looking at it in terms of drama or theater, mm-hmm. well, someone flubbed. Somebody dropped the line. If we could get rid of the sense of entertainment, drama, theater, and after the song is finished, we fall into silence. Emerging out of the silence after a time would be the prayer that the priest is uttering, but it emerges out of the silence. The prayer that the priest is uttering doesn't follow the last amen of the song, as if he's picking up his cue. Mm-hmm. We fall into silent adoration after, let's say, if we sing the Gloria, we fall into silent adoration about all that the Gloria has taught us, about all of the praise and worship we have just given Jesus, who is our heavenly King. Well, that realization of who we have encountered and what and to whom we are giving the glory, fall into silence. Appropriate it more particularly and more personally. And then according to the priest's discretion, to allow his next prayer to emerge from the silence. It's a different rhythm. The Mass we have today, all too often, is on the same rhythm as the media. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid to take up a different rhythm because we basically live our lives by the rhythm of the media. But if the silence is ever going to enter back in and take us to the depths of encounter, we're going to have to be brave enough to break that pattern. It's a pattern. It's a cultural pattern that has eked its way into our worship, but it doesn't have to control our worship. We can take control and give Christ other venues for speaking to us besides the spoken word or music. There is another venue that has been ushered out of the Mass, and that's the venue of silence. And so in combination with the spoken word, with the beauty of music, we now want to give just due to this other venue which has been ushered out, and we want to welcome it back. And again, we're welcoming it back at times when it makes sense. And the Church itself in the rubrics it basically emphasizes those three times that I mentioned, after the homily, after communion, and in the penitential rite. But there may be other times when silence makes sense as well.
We'll return in just a moment to The Way of Mystery with Deacon James Keating. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Maurizio Sfildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, or Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to The Way of Mystery with Deacon James Keating. An element of the penitential rite that you alluded to in our earlier conversation that is occasionally sped through is that great prayer, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. The phrase that has so much meaning to it. And I wonder if we appreciate exactly what that holds for us.
Well, the calling down of mercy is really the calling down of the very identity of God. God is compassion, and that compassion wants to take up residence in us as our very defining truth. And so, whether we enter into the Confiteor or enter into the Kyrie, we're entering into the definition of God. We're entering into the core of God's identity. God is mercy. As we noted before, God can only meet sin with mercy because that's who he is. That's his being. God's being is mercy. And so when we enter into the Kyrie, and then we assign and we meditate on all of the actions and the titles of Jesus in the Kyrie, You know, Jesus is the one who heals the sick, or Jesus is the one who has given us the consolation of the truth, or Jesus is the good shepherd. It just goes on and on. We're unfolding the incredible mystery of Jesus in his ministry. Jesus has shown us the way to the Father. So we're naming Jesus' ministry, and then we are placing our sins in the context of that ministry. And we are praying, which is the only human prayer that really exists, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. It's our full stance. It's the prayer of our being. When we confront the ministry of Jesus, he heals the sick, he forgives sinners, he's the good shepherd. What rises from our being is this prayer. When we allow the ministry of Jesus to come to our consciousness, what is evoked is this prayer from the depths of our heart. I am always praying this prayer as a human being. I am always being showered with the mercy of God, as I am always trying to align my choices with so merciful a God. That's the rhythm of our life. We are receiving this mercy, and out of the power of receiving that mercy, we are trying to align our choices according to the dignity of being in relationship with such a God, who doesn't condemn, who doesn't destroy, who raises up, who fills with grace, who fills with light, who orders us into communion with the Trinity. All of the evil things that we do are met with this gift, rather than a shunning. It's astounding. And yet, as you say, Lord of mercy, Christ of mercy, Lord of mercy, we rush through it. Even this pathetic stance is received with mercy by God. He understands how puny and how weak we are. Even though we want to enter into these mysteries, he understands that perhaps even to have this consciousness is impossible for a sustained amount of time. This consciousness perhaps is given to us only for fleeting moments at the Mass. But that's okay. If we receive this consciousness even for fleeting moments at the Mass, when you're aware that this consciousness is coming upon you, this consciousness that I am in the presence of God and God is receiving me his mercy, and just enter it and let it rest for a moment with you. It doesn't have to be sustained for the whole hour of the Mass. It may even just be with you at the very beginning or the very end. But when you notice it alighting upon you, receive it fully. Don't let it pass. It would be like you glancing at your husband or your wife, and you notice the beauty of their face. Just for a moment, you're at a party or at someone else's dinner, you notice their face. You notice how beautiful they are. And at that moment, even though they've been with you the whole night at the dinner, the fullness of who they are is received by you just in that split moment. And your communion with your spouse is deepened because you acknowledged his or her beauty, his or her goodness, and you receive that goodness in your heart. Well, allow this to happen at the Mass as well. And then you would turn your attention to your fidgeting child, or you turn your attention to, you know, the person's clothing in front of you, and you say, well, that's a nice sweater, or whatever we human beings do. But don't miss when this encounter occurs, because this is what always orients us toward Holy Communion. This is what orients us toward salvation, is this communion. The other thing, too, just in mentioning the families, particularly going back to the silence, a lot of parents might think, well, yeah, it'd be great to have my kids be silent. But we have to practice that silence at home. We really have to have a home, a domestic church that reverences silence, too. And so in the evening prayers that we say with our children, we want to begin to extend the silences there. One tradition that we do in our own family is to darken the room and light a candle. And that, of course, immediately settles the children down as they focus on the fire. And then we will say, let's just spend some time with Jesus in silence now. And then we'll further concretize that for the littler ones. Let's talk to Jesus in our hearts. And then we'll just sit in silence, and it could be 30 seconds or a minute. But with each passing years, as the kids grow older, the silence is extended. This way, when the priest begins to extend the silences at Mass, the children of your home will be at home.
That's perfect, because it really is, you're introducing your children not only to the verbal prayer, but the depth of prayer.
Right, and you're doing the work of the priest. You see, this is the priesthood of the parents. As I noted, the priest will have to catechize us at the Mass. And I literally mean at the Mass. He will say, we're going to enter silence, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you the beauty of it and the power of it. And that's what parents do. We will do that at home with our children. We're going to be silent now. And now we're going to tell you why we're going to be silent. Because Jesus is in you. And we'll give a catechesis as to how they can receive Jesus from the silence of their heart. And Marianne and I have four children, and over the years, one of the littlest ones has always squirmed after 10 seconds, 20 seconds. You just settle them down again, and the older ones continue in silence. Or some nights, because, you know, the dynamics of family, nobody may be in the mood for silence or prayer, and the prayer is shortened, the silence is shortened. That's okay. But there's a memory and there's a habit being built up that when you pray, it's speaking, it's silence. And sometimes we even dance, and sometimes we even sing. So all of the language of worship is known in the domestic church. And by dancing, I mean, you know, like silly little things, always prodded so beautifully by the littlest ones in the house, though. Let's get in a circle and let's turn around, they'll say. And then we'll dance in a circle. And it's hysterical. And it's beautiful. And of course, the kids give you permission to be idiotic in your prayer. That's why they're so lovely to have. Mm-hmm. And so Marianne and I dance with them, and we go in this circle. And then we'll sing Hallelujah, or we'll sing Amen, or we'll praise God. Then there's silence, and then there's intercessory prayer at home. So all the features, and of course, the Word of God is at home. You're praying with the Scriptures. All the features of the Mass are in the domestic church, and you're deepening their familiarity with the Eucharist as we enter all these features in our own homes. So I think the fear of parents, oh, my kids will never take silence seriously. Oh, I hope the priest doesn't extend silences, is an unnecessary fear if we are taking them into silence at home. And of course, the biggest question is, are we afraid of silence? And of course, if we're afraid of silence, that's a bigger problem. And we would need to have some spiritual direction or some help on that. As to why can't we go in? Why are we afraid of being alone with God in our interiority? And there's lots of ways to help people with that.
I think also posture plays an important role, preparing ourselves not only emotionally and interiorly, but also physically when we are at the celebration of the Eucharist, when we stand to offer this penitential rite. For example, a presider who looks anxious and is looking around and a lot of fidgeting. I mean, there needs to be a peace that comes from everyone that's participating. I know that there's a called for a moment of silence by lectors after the liturgy of the word. But for so many of them, they're not told to stand and pray with the scripture you've just proclaimed. They're told, stand and count for 30 seconds and then step down. Have we formed them? I mean, we've got a moment of silence, but are we counting time or are we praying?
What a beautiful example that is. And I've heard that over and over again, but just to hear you say that is so beautifully apt to what's wrong. How long should I keep quiet? Okay, count. Not mm-hmm. How long should I keep quiet? I don't know how long you should keep quiet, but whatever length of quiet, it should be prudent, and it should be you in communion with the Lord. And see, what that does is, the prudence, of course, tells you that we're on the planet Earth here and we're not dead yet, mm-hmm. and the liturgy does have an ending. But the other part about it should be real communion with the Lord stops the fidgeting. Because all of us then would be totally resting in being comfortable in the presence of one another and in the presence of Jesus. Oh, we do this all the time. And if it's lengthened a little bit at some Mass or it's shortened a little bit, just like I said about home, we can take it because we're all comfortable with this interior prayer. We've all been schooled in it. We know it. We love it. And so, it's not a matter of, okay, be silent for 10 seconds. Or the priest sits down in the chair for 5 seconds and jumps up. What's the point of that? I mean, you can't even stop noticing that the priest has sat down before he's stood up. We need some length of silence because we need to have the distractions, evaporate. You need at least 10, 20 seconds for the distractions to evaporate. You can't have 10-second silence. So it is, yes, we will stop fidgeting in the silence when the silence is not just silence, but the silence is the fullness of presence. That's when we stop fidgeting. When the silence is the fullness of presence, then we rest in the silence, and there will be such peace. You can see this very beautifully in some communities where they have silent prayer together. And the silent prayer just comes over everyone as a wave, and very powerful to see hundreds and hundreds of people at one with one another, at one with their interiority in God, just resting in the silence. And there is a lot of activity going on in that silence. Very dynamic. Very dynamic because the people know what to do inside. They know how to turn every so slightly and let the Lord affect them from within because they're taught. Again, if we can just find this courage to not be anxious about time and then to properly order people toward their interior, the penitential rite is going to bear incredible fruit. And the fruit will be best tasted at the rite of Holy Communion. See, we're not doing this just for the sake of the time of the penitential rite. We're trying to clear a space so that when the rite of Holy Communion is upon us, we can fully receive the fruit of the real presence of Christ. That's the whole point here, to fully receive the fruit of the real presence of Christ.
And I would just, as again, someone who sits in the pew, plead with those presiders and those who prepare the liturgies not to sacrifice this silence, this opportunity to enter into a moment of cleaning or a moment to be able to rest with God for elements in the liturgy that are not necessarily as advantageous. I mean, are there things that we can do that we can be a bit more efficient without sacrificing the sacred?
Right, and even though raising the questions, you see, each community then has to ponder about that, and those are very creative questions. We just take, for example, the prayers of the faithful. They very often times in the community itself become something like the Kyrie or the penitential rite, where there's no consciousness of the petition. It's just, we pray now for the Pope and we pray for Archbishop Curtis. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. And we race off.
Mm-hmm.
Even there could be built in, whether your suggestion, fewer prayers or more pauses, more silence.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest thing is at the end of the prayer of the faithful, a lot of times it'll say, let us pause and pray in the silence of our hearts. And then they don't even give you 2 seconds to do it.
Count to 10. Yeah.
That's it. And everyone moves on. So the larger question is, hovering over all of this, the Mass as a transformative agent, the larger question is, do we really want to meet the one who wants to meet us here? Or do we want to get it over with and just move on? That's the biggest question. Because if we really want to meet the one who wants to meet us here, then we will luxuriate in the many ways that he comes to us in the midst of the Mass. But This is the question. It's not a showcase for my singing. It's not a showcase for my preaching. It's not a showcase for, I don't know, processions, vestments. And when it becomes that, it becomes a monster.
Mm-hmm.
The Mass in its very nature is very sober. And the sobriety is there so that the Holy Spirit can empty himself in us. The Mass is sober because the work that's being done is the interior work of the epiclesis. It's the work of the Holy Spirit silently coming down upon the congregation and working salvation in the midst of that congregation. So it's not about my thing. The sobriety of the Mass really is the thing. And it's not about me emphasizing one aspect or one gift over the other. It's this whole question of, is our worship ordered toward and enabling the people to personally encounter the one who wants to meet us there? That's what's key. Or is it ordered by other agendas? You know, be it time, or be it fashion, or be it the gifts and the skills of one person. The age-old question of whether musicians should be in the front of the church or in the choir loft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question about entertainment versus leading us in prayer. All of these incredibly important questions are ordered by the overarching question, do we really want to meet the one who wants to meet us there?
You've been listening to The Way of Mystery, The Eucharist and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formation. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for The Way of Mystery, The Eucharist and Moral Living with Deacon James Keating.